I pray God's peace and His mercy would be yours in the name of the Holy Christ of God, Jesus. Amen. So I've been meeting with some folks here. We've been meeting, I suppose, about twice a month. And the discussion is being centered around a book that I had recommended that they read, that I thought would help them get a sense of kind of what my vision is for St. John's. And they decided, hey, let's just meet and talk about this book. And it's been some really good discussions. It's fair to say I've been a little, I don't know how many of you know, I've been frustrated here a little bit sometimes because I've helped five churches grow, five in a row. When I got here, I started kind of just the same way that I've always done before, and then something went wrong, right? Our congregation started to grow. In less than 2 years, we had turned around. We had more people coming in than going out. Then it all stopped. And my question was, so why did that happen? It's no secret that I haven't been in my family, and I haven't been entirely treated nicely, been treated nicely here by everyone. I was here for 2 months. You remember I got a note saying I was going to get run out of the church and all this silly stuff, right? Matter of fact, one person was actually calling me before I even accepted the call, trying to manipulate me to control the congregation. My family and I have been lied to and lied about, and even efforts to sabotage some major projects continue. Now, why do I bring that up? If you were happy, now you're probably not, right? Why do I bring that up? To get even, to get revenge, to put them in their place? Let's just start calling out their names. Never. No way. That's not it. If you didn't go to the Total Forgiveness Bible study, go buy the book and read it, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. I know they're not done. They're taking a pause after Easter. Go jump in at the end of it. That has got to be, and I know that book is approaching like 20 years old. R.T. Kendall, I don't know if he's still kicking around. He might be. But it's truly a profound book, and I'd encourage you to read that. I bring all of this up because I want to show you why the Christian church in America is failing. We're failing. It's not just St. John's. It's the Christian church in America isn't doing well compared to some places. You know, like Pastor Olana, I read he was here on Thanksgiving, right? It was a while back. He comes from the Makane Yesus. It's the Lutheran Synod of Ethiopia, which is tens of millions. It's growing so fast they can't generate pastors fast enough to even come close to filling the churches. It's just growing by leaps and bounds. The Lutheran Church in China is growing by leaps and bounds. It's happening all over the world. What's it doing here in America? Some of you have been here long enough. You remember 10 years ago when you had to set up, right? Probably 10 years ago, you had to set up chairs for Christmas and Easter, right? Now we're happy if we just fill these two sections. What's going on? What's happening is I think we have lost our mission. We've lost our purpose. We've lost our reason for being. We look at those flash-in-the-pan churches, right? These ones that seem to pop up and grow really quickly, and we think, well, they must be doing something right. And some would think we need to change everything and become like them. While other people are saying, no, we have to make sure we don't change anything. And we end up being a house divided. And what did Jesus say about a house divided? It's built on sand. It falls. Here at St. John's, you guys have been through some turmoils. There have been some tough times. You have a history that, honestly, I didn't really know much about. And so I couldn't really understand. That history, without a doubt, has caused some wounds and left some scars. It created a situation where some people, right, church is an anchor for people, and I respect that immensely. It's certainly an anchor for me. But then they hold on to certain things in the church. They kind of grab onto them because they want to keep them safe. Because we can't let this go. This is my anchor. And sometimes that creates mistrust and And the result is conduct, which if folks were looking in from the outside, would look harsh and abusive, because, well, sometimes it is. And we don't want to admit that. We don't like the pastor up here talking about this kind of stuff. That stuff, we need to keep that on the back burner. Keep it out of sight, right? We don't like it when our dirty laundry gets hung out on the line. We don't like it when the lights get turned on. We'd like to believe if we just ignore it, it'll just go away. But it won't. It didn't. It hasn't. And I'm not just picking on St. John's. Remember I said the Christian church in America. Oops. The Christian church in America, right? Many, many, many congregations across America are facing the same problem. Exactly the same problem. Now, their specifics might not be the same as yours, but the real problem, the heart of the matter, is the same. As the Christian church in America or as an individual congregation, we aren't going to grow. We can't grow until we've dragged that stuff out of the shadows and out of the dark corners and into the light, and we deal with it. The first problem is perspective. If you're looking at an elephant in a microscope, you're missing the picture, right? That's the next slide. You have the sermon. Oh, there it is. There, thank you, thank you. Yeah, you're looking at an elephant in a microscope, you're missing the big picture, right? You can't really see the whole thing. I have pictures of a time I was visiting when my mom was helping missionaries out in Africa, and I have a picture of me from an elephant, and I'm about from me to the front row there away. By the way, that's stupid. I know that. Fortunately, I didn't learn that through empirical study. But they're magnificent animals. They're huge. They're amazing to watch. But if you're looking at them through a microscope, you don't get the real picture. You're too close. You need to step back to get the full view. And that's hard to do when you've been focused in really close for so long. It's hard, but it is absolutely necessary. You must see the whole problem to fix the whole problem. The problem is, in America, the church has lost its mission and its purpose and its reason for being. So let's try to bring the picture into perspective. We don't need a lot of complex tools to do that. We just need to take a step or two back and look again. The best way to do that here at St. John's would be do this. Ask a visitor, someone who hasn't been here through all the trials, ask them what they observe. What would they see in this place from the outside looking in? Because their vision when they come isn't focusing in on little individual points. They're trying to catch the big picture because they're looking for a place where they might fit in. They don't know and they can't see, and honestly, they probably don't even care about the politics and the history and the positions. They're looking for a faith home. Even if they don't know what they need, they do know they have a need, and that's why they walk in the door. So they come in with their eyes wide open to see. I have an advantage over some of you folks in that respect. Now, I'm starting to become kind of an old hand here. It'll be 3 years in April, so we're coming up on 3 years, so I'm not so new anymore. But I have an advantage over some of you because I have spent a great deal of time with people who are not, and many of them have never been, part of a Christian church. My advantage is even greater because during those times, I've had the opportunity to actually sit down and talk about, have conversations about faith with them. And I've asked them, what are you looking for? I've asked them, what do you believe? And I've asked them, why is it Christianity doesn't answer your needs? I've asked them why Christianity doesn't give them answers. What did they say? Why would they never, and that was the word I heard often, I would never walk into a Christian church. I heard that often. Why do they think what they think about Let's just make it more personal about us sitting in here, although it is the whole Christian church in America for the most part. Why do they think what they think about us? Before I answer that question, I'm going to help you take a step back, help you get a better perspective. Let me help you put the microscope down so you can see better. This is an account that I've shared with you before, but it's one that comes to mind constantly for me because it just struck me when it happened. This is before I became a pastor. I worked in the computer industry. That doesn't matter, but some coworkers and I went out to lunch, and I honestly don't recall what day of the week it was, but I do know it was not Monday. Our waitress was clearly having an incredibly bad day. You could just see it. She was clearly stressed and having trouble covering her table as well as the tables of somebody else who decided to just not show up without calling. Lunch was busy. Some customers were getting grumpy because, you know, some of these folks, right, when you're working, your boss says you can leave now and you need to be back by this time, and they were clearly grumpy that their food wasn't on the table and they didn't care about excuses. When she came to our table, I said, "Hey, look, I know you're busy, but just take a breath." And she kind of, you know, gave a little smile, and I said, "Well, at least it's not Monday." And she said, "No, Sunday." And I said, "Why Sunday?" "That's when all the Christians come out after church. They're rude, they're impatient, they never tip, and they leave a huge mess I've got to clean up." Whoa. So then we gave her our order. Is it hard to see why she's not a Christian? Because I'm sure she isn't. She didn't go to church. That's pretty clear. Here's the question. Do you think she would if she got invited? If that happened here in Austin, I said, "Well, you should come to our church." Do you think she would come? It's not because of you. It's just because of the view, the perspective she has about Christians, right? There's not a chance she would come. Why? Because we sort of lost our mission, right? We've lost our purpose. We've lost our reason for being. And it kind of shows in the communities that we live across the nation. The specifics may change, but the problem remains the same. The outside world sees, and you'll hear about this in the Bible study after church. From the outside looking in, most people see Christians as judgmental, hypocritical, and divisive, right? You've heard all of that stuff many, many times before, I'm sure. You've heard all those accusations, right? That's what they expect when they come in for a visit. That's what they think they're going to see when they walk in the door. That's the perspective they have. And like most churches, they would find that here. They'd also find it that's happening in Congress, right? That's all over the news, right? It happens in a lot of places. I'm not just picking on St. John's. It's just what people find because they're looking for it. And if you're looking for something, it's usually possible to find. So my first goal in coming here was to help break that perspective, to help us become a welcoming church, to make a church that would change people's perspective and perception because they visited here. Because the church as a whole has lost its mission and its purpose. It's lost its reason for being. The problem for me here, ultimately, I realized was defining that problem better for you so you could see it. My experience is very different from yours. Very different. I've been in growing churches, and I've been an instrumental part of growing those churches for over 20 years. For 20 years, I have not been in a church that is getting smaller. Most of you who've been members here for a long time have not been in a church that's getting bigger in 20 years, right? You have a very different history from mine, and it's one I didn't know. And because I didn't know it, I couldn't understand it. In meetings that I've been having, in those meetings, I've been sort of trying to get some help better defining that for you. The real reason for all the problems that are happening, not just here, but everywhere, the real reason is our why. Why are we here? Why do we exist as a congregation? We have to answer those two questions as the Christian Church in America and as St. John's Lutheran Church in Austin, Minnesota. Why are we here? Why do we exist? Once we know our why, we can better define our what we do, and what we see as our purpose. So that's my question right now. What is our why? Everybody out there knows this is a Christian church. Everybody knows that. They drive by, look, Christian church. They know that. Everyone knows we worship Jesus here, but that is what we do. But why? Why is this a Christian church? Why do we worship Jesus here? I want to show you something so you get what I'm saying, what I'm trying to help you understand. You all know the song. Sing it with me.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Oh, good job. Wow. That song has brought comfort to many people since it was written. I didn't look up the date before I came out here, but it's like about 100 years ago. That song has brought comfort to many people. And as I just showed, you can sing it. You don't have to look at the page. You don't have to know the words. You know what the words are. You know what the notes are. But that's the what. Your why is what matters. Suppose you haven't been to church in years. Your best friend dies. Your car breaks down. You lose your job. Your dog died. And then the broken down car rolls down the driveway and runs over your last beer, all the makings of a really good country western song, right? And then the congregation, you know, that one you haven't been to in years, reaches out to you. They show that they care. Through that, God calls you back home. You return to the faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now when you sing that song, it sounds different.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
Did you hear the difference? Why matters. The why makes a difference. The why is the difference. Once you know why, you know what to do. Without a why, the what gets lost and the what doesn't matter. You have to know why. But as a church, we've lost our why. We've lost our mission. We've lost our purpose. We've lost our reason for being. That's why I want to go through this red letter challenge with you. The why for our red letter challenge for our congregation is to redefine our why, to refocus our sight on what matters. And that means things are going to change. It even means some things are just going to go away. But before we can explore what can change, we must define what cannot change. Our doctrine cannot change. We are members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and We are not ashamed of that. We are proud to say it out loud and on purpose. Our doctrine cannot change. Holy Scripture cannot change. Our confessions cannot change. The means of grace cannot change. And while I am here, they will not change, no matter what efforts might be made through scheming and conniving to make me change it. It will not change. The other thing that can't change is our mission statement, the logo of St. John's. I've just recently been sort of better introduced to that, right? Our mission statement will not change. In fact, it's going to help us define what we do. It's going to give direction to what we do, to re-finding our why. That idea of proclaiming God's name, encouraging each other, witnessing that truth of God, and serving our community. I didn't realize how much time. Those of you who have been there for a while, you know that has been the focus of this congregation. You guys put a lot of work into that, and I like how very succinct it is, how very simple it is to remember. That's brilliant, and that's not going to change. That's actually going to help us give direction to helping us find our why. The purpose of going through the Red Letter Challenge will be just that: refocus, redefine, rediscover our why for being here. Why, not just being inside these walls, but a reason for St. John's Lutheran Church to be in the community of Austin, Minnesota, so we can better know what we should be doing when we leave this building. Right? As you drive out of the parking lot, you all see the signs. We're now entering the mission field. And you are. It's out there. There's a whole bunch of people who have never entered a church, who have the wrong perspective, and not necessarily because of anything we've done, but it's just, right, kind of the gossip that mills in the culture in which we live. So throughout the time of Lent, we're gonna focus on Jesus. We're going to look at Jesus. Everything we're doing throughout the season of Lent is all about looking at Jesus. So let's all go during this time of Lent. Let's go to God with repentant hearts. Let's ask God to give us clear vision, clear purpose, and to help us see the why that He has defined for us right here. Let's go forward, remembering, as God's holy word says, God has made us what we are. He has created us in Christ Jesus to live lives filled with good works, which He has prepared for us to do. May God grant us these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.